Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky, Andy Genie Bus, and Rob Pelinka are trending. That is never a good sign. That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show, see us do it. You can participate in a fast-growing board of regulars who are commenting there. We're getting up, approaching 9,000 subscribers, which is great. And thank you to everybody for the support that you have given us in the show and that channel. So, the Lakers enter tonight's game against the Clippers, these sort of struggling Clippers, not performing the way that they would certainly like. Kawhi's still kind of banged up.
Yeah, Paul George has been playing very well the last three or four games. He won the most recent Western Conference Player of the Week, but it's not coming easy for the Clippers, and for what it's worth, they have a negative point differential, which is never a sign that things are going great.
So that is a game that maybe looks a little bit more potentially winnable for the 2-8 Lakers than it might have at the beginning of the season when we were going through the schedule. But nonetheless, Andy, people are a little down on the purple and gold these days. And to the point that much of Tuesday, we have seen a lot of Rob and Genie Bus angst on Twitter to the point that both of them are trending. And I think we have reached a place, Andy, that when Rob and Genie are trending, it is not because everybody's excited about them.
Yeah, I doubt this many people have been on social media at the same time saying, my God, this franchise is in incredible hands. Like, thank you, Rob and Genie. It was just important that we tweeted this out at Genie Bus. Pelinka, get on Twitter so we can appropriately at you.
Send you your flowers, as the kids would say. But the a lot of what this has been caused by, obviously, the 2-8 record, but there's also just this notion, and it was reinforced by a clip from Sham Sharania at the Athletic and at Stadium, saying that the Lakers are not in any hurry. They are not likely to make a big trade that uses those two first round picks, the 2027 and the 2029, if things kind of continue down the road that they're on. And currently, Andy, things look like they're going to continue down the road that they're on.
What makes this question complicated is how realistic do you think it is that you can actually get off the road? Because it obviously can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, like the idea of, if you don't make a move that can help make things better, then things are never going to get better. And then you can never justify giving up those two picks. So in some sense, you've got a circular firing squad. But what you really need to ask yourself is, given what we think we can get for these two first round picks and presumably Russell Westbrook, or some other deal possibility, but involving those two picks, how much better can we actually make ourselves with what is realistically out there? Because as uninspiring as it would be to see the Lakers miss the playoffs for a second season in a row, third season in 5 years, the reality is doing things performatively that don't really help only make that bill that you pay that much worse.
There's also the issue, Andy, that you're talking about too. Like, it's not just the Lakers having to make that choice. And you're right. Like, every game that goes by, let's say for argument's sake, they could make the Buddy Hield Miles Turner deal tomorrow. Miles Turner, Buddy Hield for Westbrook and two first rounders. Let's just say that's an option. Every game at 2-8, you have to decide, is that going to get us back above 500? So, we're definitely going to make the play-in. Would that get us past teams that might be slumping a little bit to where we could get in the top six. Palinka, Genie, and everybody making these calculations. But the other part of that, Andy, is that's not how this works. It's like the Lakers don't get to, at this point, snap their fingers and say, okay, fine, we're ready to make that deal. Myles Turner put up 36 and 10, might have been 37 and 10, I think, with three blocks on Monday night. The Pacers at this point may not be incentivized to take a deal that they know they might be able to get later on, or that might be met by someone else later on, to move Hield and Turner. Like, that's not necessarily what they need to do. San Antonio has the ability to just, they're going to get bad regardless of whether or not they make a trade to the Lakers or not.
Yeah, they're on a four-game losing streak as of this recording.
Right. They have plenty of time to figure out where they want to move some of their veteran players, what they might be able to get back. And, I saw people float the idea of like Kendrick Nunn and Patrick Beverley to the Spurs for, I think it was like Richardson and McDermott, which I would do if I were the Lakers, but I'm not sure I would do that right now if I'm San Antonio. I'll wait, see if I can do better than that.
Look, these are the complications that come with not doing the deal before the season began and giving your potential trade partners the opportunity to actually see how things unfold. We talked before about the Utah poo-poo platter, the Jordan Clarksons, the Mike Conleys of the world. Neither one of us was that excited about that. And I'm still not convinced that all of those guys could turn the fortunes of this team. But I know this right now, the way Jordan Clarkson's playing at this moment, you might need two firsts to get him, much less everyone else. You know what I'm saying? So you gave Utah the opportunity to actually build up the trade value of a Jordan Clarkson or of a Mike Conley or, Kelly Olynyk and down the line, like all these other players. So, but for the time, these purposes, it's good to note that, but for these purposes, we'll keep this focused from the Lakers' perspective and how they evaluate the decisions they can actually control themselves.
Because, you were more, I think, both of us, I think, would have done the Indiana deal before the season started. You probably a little bit more enthusiastically than me. I certainly understand the calculus that they have, which is making this deal improves us enough to be a 6-8 seed for the next 3 years. Is that what we really want to do? I think that's what they were kind of worried about, is like it wouldn't improve them enough. They're sort of stuck where they are, and that sort of 6-7 seed purgatory is a tough place to be in.
Maybe be more, or at least possibly 6-4, maybe, something like that, maybe. Which to me is competitive enough to be worth your time.
Oh, sure. If I was convinced that that deal before the season would have bumped me up to a 5 seed, I think then that is mandatory. You got to do it. Because in the West, a 5 seed, you go into the playoffs, there's a 5 seed with LeBron and Anthony Davis and, a healthy Myles Turner to fortify your front line or whatever. That gives you a puncher's chance against anybody.
Right.
And so, I think is the baseline.
Right, but the baseline cannot be instant contender, because that deal does not exist in terms of what you can get for the first round picks, but also the foundation that you're adding towards. Like, it, realistically speaking, or I'd say even unrealistically speaking, that deal's not there.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
If that's where the Lakers are operating from, then okay, but then they really need to start thinking about, why are they working with this LeBron AD foundation at all? Which is something we are going to be talking
about.
I'm
glad you went there, because I was on the radio yesterday, on Monday, I should say, on AM 830 with Roger Lodge, our friend, who's a longtime host in Orange County and the ESPN affiliate. And he put forward to me a very interesting hypothetical about potential trades for the Lakers this year that is directly tied to the question that you're talking about there. And I will ask you the hypothetical that was asked of me next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% sure that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you need to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your job faster and for free. It's easier to lay out all of the information about your business, the type of work environment you want to foster, the projects that you do. And from there, you just add the job that you're looking to fill, plus the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to hire. Small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmba. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmba to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So on Monday, Andy, when I went on the radio, I was asked to whether or not I thought Russell Westbrook would be on the team when the season was over. And I said what I said on our Big Predictions podcast, which was, yes, I actually think that he will be, because I think as the season goes along, the opportunity to improve with a Westbrook deal, as we were kind of getting at in the first segment, won't be significant enough to overcome the potential, both the return that they could get and what it would mean, wouldn't be enough to overcome the appeal of keeping the picks, going into the offseason with cap space, which you can use for free agents or for trades, can absorb players into that cap space. But you would still have your two picks to trade and all that kind of stuff. And so that was the answer I gave. He then asked me, who's more likely to be traded during the season, Westbrook or Anthony Davis? Curious how you would answer that question. Player more likely, I'm not saying, you know, both of them, the answer could be both of them on the team, but of the two, who do you think is more likely to be moved during the season if you had to pick one guy?
If I had to pick one guy, it's Westbrook, because it's extreme. Unless the Lakers are looking to do a very specific scenario, which is start the rebuild now. Mm-hmm. They've just decided we are not going to go any further with this. We are going to start rebuilding in the middle of this season. And we can get into the particulars of what would trigger a decision like that.
That's my next question.
Okay, as the show goes along. But if you are looking, unless you're looking to do that type of deal, you have to be thinking about something that gives you a return for Anthony Davis that keeps you competitive right now. So it's got to be a mutual win now move. So that drastically narrows down your options, because the Lakers, by definition, are not going to trade basically in the entire Western Conference, because you don't want to trade Anthony Davis to a team that you're going to be chasing. So unless there's, you know, somebody on the Rockets or Kings that you're dying to get, I don't see really any options. You know, forget who the actual players would be. I'm just saying from a practical standpoint, given the hole they dug, I don't think they can trade AD in the West. Mm. So then you start looking at the East. Okay. Kevin Durant's obviously going to be a name that comes up. He may end up wanting out. Maybe Brooklyn doesn't want to bottom out altogether. It's a shorter commitment to Anthony Davis. If nothing else, KD signed to 2026. AD is 2025 at the longest, maybe 2024 if he uses his player option. You know, they can have their cake and eat it too. You know, try to see if they can build around Anthony Davis. But if they can't, it's not as long-term of a commitment. And either way, you wash your hands of this toxic stew that's been going on. Chicago, like a homecoming, but, you know, for who? Like a DeMar DeRozan and a Caruso reunion? You know what I mean? Like, Here's a mind bleep option. Boston. They're extremely 1-3 heavy, particularly with Robert Williams hurt all the time. You know, like Grant Williams has been an undersized 4. I don't know exactly what you do, but the idea that the Lakers are going to potentially trade Anthony Davis to the Celtics to possibly get them the ring that puts them further ahead in the chase. That's a tough one to spin. So, I mean, and I'm sure you could maybe find another team, but the point being, there's not a lot that jumps out at you as an immediate mutual win now move that the Lakers can make trading Anthony Davis if they're still looking to stay competitive. Maybe they make a move where they trade him for pieces, thinking that LeBron is better served with just more depth than Anthony Davis as a star player. Although, again, if you're doing that, I don't know why you wouldn't just try to trade Russell Westbrook for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield and get the depth and Anthony Davis. But anyway, I think it's Russell Westbrook just because it is easier to trade Russ for pieces that could help you now more competitively than it would be to trade Anthony Davis for pieces that would help you now more competitively.
What you're getting at is really the crux of the question, which is if they make a trade, is it a trade for trying to fix what is ailing them today? Or is it like a, you know, old fashioned cartoon TNT, you know, acknowledgement that this, that what they have isn't going to work. And I think, you know, the Utah model is an interesting one, just in the sense that the Jazz, we sort of all made the assumption they're going to tank, like tank hard, but they acquired players who were kind of too good for that. And now these are then players that they can turn around. And if they decide to, you could, at the deadline, things aren't going as well, you can trade Olynyk. You can trade, you know, all these guys can be moved again. But what it would be, I think if they trade Davis, it is entirely a we're done, blow it up. Yeah. This didn't work, blow it up kind of thing.
Well, if you're going to trade Anthony Davis, you want to do it in the way that gives you the most options.
Right. So it wouldn't be for DeRozan. It would be for probably a large expiring contract, as many draft picks as you can get, you know, maybe one good young player that you could find, probably not. I'm talking like a Jared Vanderbilt type young player, not a star, Tyrese Halliburton, you know, like Indiana got. But
let me ask you as a baseline of talent, because one of the teams that I'd thought about acknowledging the Lakers are not going to trade to this team, but Michael Bridges
on Phoenix.
Yes, on Phoenix. That baseline of player, very good.
Plus draft picks. Yes, and, you know, like.
But that's the best level of player.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Kind of player. That's what you have to do, because you know the problem here though is you're selling so low on AD when you trade him right now. You know that. The belief in Anthony Davis, as we've talked about around the league, is extraordinarily low. And so you're not, I don't think you're going to get a Rudy Gobert type return or a
The Rudy
Donovan
Gobert
Mitchell.
Thing people need to understand was specific to Minnesota. Rudy Gobert is better than any free agent they'll ever get.
But Donovan Mitchell I'm just talking about the amount of stuff you get back.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland. I don't think that's going to come for Anthony Davis because the national mood, to use the term as we record on election day, the national mood on Anthony Davis is down. So, you know, they're in a...
But it could always get more down with one more injury.
One more injury with more playing. Like, he played very well on, it should be noted, on Monday. Yes. Played a really good game. So, like, it's there. Like, the stuff is there. It's not... I just think people don't know what to do with him. The other question that I have, you can start to answer now. We can finish on the other side of the break. What do you think the sixth man success that he has had does for the trade value of Westbrook? Because the assumption has always been, and this is where I think my prediction about Westbrook staying in LA may turn to be wrong, because the assumption was always whatever team acquires Westbrook would just cut him and send him home and that to some degree limits the amount of teams that would even be interested in him to begin with. Like, who has assets they want to give up for a player that they don't need, and so on and so on. If this is who Russell Westbrook is now, and he is willing to do this on another team for another coach that he respects in a situation where he might be able to play competitive games.
Maybe. This is insane to say, but let's just spin this in the most pie in the sky way possible. You get to keep his bird rights. but it's true though. It's true.
If Russell Westbrook will do this, and look, he's not perfect. Like it's not like these games have been perfect. Like, he's been pretty good. Like the Lakers got a lot of problems. He's not really one of them.
No. We talked about this on Tuesday's show, Brian. Westbrook has been closer to the solution over the last week and change than the problem.
You don't have Russell Westbrook to kick around anymore. Is he more tradable now than he was at the beginning of the season? And how might that impact the calculus? And then the last question I'll ask you, which I'm sure will take us to the end of the show, is, are people right to be so angry with Rob and Jeannie for standing pat at this point? So we'll get to all of that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer, esports, even esports. Got it all over at BetOnline. And if you love sports podcasts, which we can only assume you do because you are learning about this on a sports podcast, you can find those as well at BetOnline. They're always the fastest, easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So is Westbrook easier to trade now? Does he have more value? Could you, as pessimistic as we've been about Westbrook's trade value around the league, realistically come up with scenarios now where Westbrook is a productive piece that you want to move, where you don't have to give up two first-round picks to make it happen, where maybe you give up one, or depending on what you're willing to take back, maybe you don't have to give up anything?
I think it's possible. Like, Russ needs to keep this up, and, you know, everybody is going to be on body language watch, words watch, you know, scale of 1 to 10, how surly are the press conferences watch, all of that stuff. And it's likely going to be one of those things where a team may ask for permission to talk with Russ or, you know, his agent, or, you know, so you're going to want to find out as much. No, really, will he do this here? Like, he's in LA trying to, you know, just for whatever reason, make it work with this team because he wanted to save face with the Lakers, or has Russ bought into this as a career path moving forward? Or if nothing else, on a competitive team this season? Because if you really feel the intel is solid that the answer is yes, then yeah, Russ may have actually increased his practical trade value around the league, because the way he's playing right now, he could help any team in the league. The way he's playing right now as a bench player, as, you know, a really right,
assuming
high-end
same attitude, assuming yes, you carry yes. the same spirit.
I mean, that's all, you know, it's not even just the caveats, it's mandatory.
Right, correct.
But if you are really confident that this is something Russ has, you know, accepted, embraced as how my career is going to move forward, and I'm good with it, yeah, Russ could help some teams. Absolutely.
So
I think there could be skepticism
for
some other teams, but yeah,
tread lightly. I think, you know, any team would be wary because you just don't know.
Yeah, we're not declaring Russ the hottest trade asset around the league.
No. And it's, I think this and is possible. And at $47 million, it's still not easy. Like, it's not an easy thing to pull off. My only point was that it occurred to me as this experiment kept getting better, that the one assumption that has definitely changed is that I don't know if it's clear that a team that acquires Westbrook would automatically just send him home. They're acquiring him, cut him, and he's a number on a page. He actually looks like he could be a valuable player for a team. Still hard to fit, still a caveat supply, blah, blah, blah. So I saw one person, and you know, it's the point is, like, people are really upset with Rob and Jeannie, and Rob in particular, that, you know, they have not surrounded LeBron with, you know, better players. There's a really good, I'm not sure we're going to get, Michael Pena wrote for The Ringer, where he now is, a really good article that hits on some of the themes you've been talking about with LeBron, about his play so far this year and signs of age and all that, and how a lesser supporting cast like they have this year would have been less important if LeBron was still a top five guy, which he just isn't playing like right now. The Lakers were fundamentally flawed in that they have counted. They built a team that required an aging LeBron and a fragile Anthony Davis to be even better than they've been in order to be competitive, and then haven't turned around to add more help when it's obvious that they need it. I even saw one person suggests that this was done intentionally. Like they've sabotaged the team intentionally to try to make it so they don't have to trade these picks and can hold on to them and justify holding on to them.
Feels like a lot of efforting.
That is a lot more conspiratorial and quite frankly requires more competence than I think that than anybody in that front office. It's just, I mean, it's like, no, that's not what they're doing. But it does bring up the point, like, at even if they were wrong not to trade Westbrook in the offseason, if they were wrong not to trade Westbrook at the, you know, day one at the beginning of the season, they were obviously wrong to trade for Westbrook in the first place. At 2-8, staring at what they're staring at, if everybody in LA is yelling at the Lakers to keep digging, it doesn't mean they have to actually pick up their shovels. Like, it, they might be smart just to say no. It, like, as Shams said, you know, we mentioned that at the top of the show, that they're not in any kind of rush to make a deal that would give up those picks if things keep going the way that they are.
Well, the answer to that question, like in terms of how mad fans should be, is the answer to the question I'm about to ask. Is LeBron still good enough to be built around as a primary option? Like, much less a primary option that you throw in your last remaining assets, not just to get him more help, but because of the predominant narrative that it's a waste of LeBron's talents not to do this. You owe this to LeBron. You owe it to the plan that you had with LeBron. Like, if you're not bothering to do this, like, if you're bothering to do this with LeBron at all, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. That's just the way this works. Does doing this with LeBron through that lens make sense? Like, it, like, both in terms of how the Lakers can actually make moves, like the context through which they're working, which is extremely limited, but just in a vacuum, like, is LeBron still at that level? Will he still be at that level come playoff time? After I did some calculating, LeBron's averaged 35 minutes per game as a Laker. Let's just say he plays another 62 games this season. There's 72 left. Say he plays 62, which frankly could be optimistic.
I doubt it. Right.
Well, but let's just
sure,
go.
Sure.
That's another 2,182 minutes from now to playoffs beginning. Will LeBron still be at the level where unquestionably he is worthy of doing all of this? Not for the optics, not because of the narrative, but because it makes sense. Because that's ultimately the answer. And that's the answer beyond AD. It's the answer beyond Russ. It's the answer beyond the supporting cast. Because you're doing all of this because theoretically it's a waste not to, because of who LeBron is. That's the answer to your question.
Yeah, and it's that's one question. And I think the other one is just...
And by the way, I'm not, I've been concerned about this before. I'm not convinced the answer
is yes. I think the answer, like, if he's healthy, which is a big if at this point, but like, yes, I think, with better players, I mean, I am willing, I before I chalk up the last few games, for example, to... the decline is here, and it's a relative decline, but the decline is here.
Decline's been in the works, though, but continue.
Sure. It's a slow decline rather than a steep by LeBron standards fall off.
Okay.
I'm saying that's the trend that he's been on.
Okay.
And that it would steepen, like the last few games are a sign that steepen. He's got a bad foot, and viral infections knock people on their rear, even LeBron. And so the first few games were
particularly
better
when they're old.
Right. Old people get viruses.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's important for them to get vaccinated.
Before he got sick, he was shooting the ball better. Like, he was. I mean, he had an 0-for-7 night. He had a, like, 1-for-8. He had, like, 14.
LeBron has not been efficient this whole season.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he was better, which is true, before he was, again, it was more like those first few games. Not as efficient, you can see some, but it was still more like the slow, still pretty, effective versus LeBron has taken like 16 three-pointers in a row and not made any of them. My answer to that is, with Anthony Davis healthy and a better supporting cast, yes, you can still build a really good team around LeBron. The larger question is, what happens to your franchise if you make a trade to chase a, you know, a semi-lost season or a season for optics where you're like, people are yelling at us to dig. We don't want to dig anymore, but we also don't want people to yell at us. At some point, you're throwing good money after bad. And you might have to look at LeBron and say, dude, we're going to have to try again this offseason. We will try better. We will try harder. We will do better. But what you can't do is make a trade for performative reasons that makes it so this is what the Lakers and Lakers fans have to look forward to for the next half decade, where you turn a 2 years of pain into 6 years of pain. And for all the people who are angry about it, the draft picks 7 years away, it's 2029, or that's not the point. The point is you can only make that trade once. It's not about drafting a player in 2027 or 2029. It's about only being able to trade the pick one time. And if you blow it now because people are mad at you, Lakers fans are going to be even more upset in 3 years.
You know what, though? I'll say this, and I agree with you that it is as much, if not more, about what you can do with them in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months mm-hmm. than it is in 2027 or 2029. But the way things have been moving, it's not about what you can do in 2027 and 2029. If you think LeBron is moving in a direction where doing all of this is not either worth it or is not viable given the place you're going to be doing it from.
No, I agree. And to add to that, are these people competent enough to make either scenario matter? These are all open questions.
There is a chance, not saying it's there is a chance that they ultimately got the best out of LeBron and AD, and it's underwhelming compared to the grand vision. But it is what it is.
There's a chance that they got the best they're going to get out of them.
That's what I mean.
They clearly didn't get the best out of them. They've dismantled they've turned a championship team into this in 2 years. But yeah, I agree with you. So anyway, there's a lot more to start to sort of unpack around these things. Hopefully, as we discussed on Tuesday's show, with a slightly softer schedule coming up, you got three games against the Spurs. You've got a semi-struggling Clippers team. There's some more winnable games coming up for the Lakers. Some of these questions become less relevant because Lakers get a couple of victories, you get a little closer to the 500 mark, everybody can feel a little better about themselves. If it doesn't, though, Andy, these are going to become very important themes for the rest of the season. Locked on Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see us perform this show on a daily basis. Join in with the chat boards and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see what happens after the Clipper game tonight. Everybody have a great night. We'll see you on Thursday.